the readings today, and we're going to do the gospel first, if you permit me. And the gospel reading is taken from Luke 11th chapter, verses 1 through 13, the first 13 verses. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And God, do not bring us to the time of trial.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Don't bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' Jesus said, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May we be blessed by these sacred words of Scripture.
Those with the growth that is from God. And here ends the lesson.
The Lord's Prayer is a little different than what we normally pray because the other synoptic gospel has the full Lord's Prayer as we normally pray it. And in looking at the Lord's Prayer, I often wonder, in the Gospels, I often wonder when Jesus went from town to town, you know, what did he preach on? And I think the answer is he continually preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he continually told stories, the parables. And when people asked him about prayer, I think he talked about the Lord's Prayer. I also think he talked about weather, family, and how people were doing. But when he had a chance to talk about prayer, the Lord's Prayer was primary in his mind. The Lord's Prayer is an interesting prayer because it's prayed in all Christian churches. It transformed his disciples, and I think it transformed every Christian throughout the ages, and it's very transforming to us also. What I'd like to do today is just a little different, and that's to use this time as a meditation. Now, if we had soft armchairs here, I could say relax, put your head back, be like a theater seat. Get as comfortable as you possibly can. Close your eyes and just let's go through the meditation. But we don't have soft chairs, but in spite of that, you can still close your eyes and just go through a meditation. And let's see where the Spirit can guide us today in dissecting the Lord's Prayer as the Holy Spirit led Jesus to that type of prayer and led his disciples and us today in that prayer. Let us meditate. Jesus, you pray to our Father. And what was revolutionary, Jesus, is that you told us, after centuries, to call God by a familiar name, not a name that cannot be uttered, not Yahweh, but Father. This must have really shaken up your listeners. This was change. You called God a parent. You said God was our parent. The Almighty God is a father to us, a parent to us, a mother to us. And when we pray to our Father, we recognize that we are children of God. We are the daughters and sons of our parent God. We are the created flesh and blood of a very personal God. Jesus, you also told us that our Father is in heaven. Our God is in the far reaches of the universe. And in 2010, we have an even better understanding of how far that universe reaches, for it continues on and on with more stars than there are grains of sand on this small planet Earth. And your heaven also extends into our micro world. There was a time not too long ago when it was thought that the atom was the smallest particle. And now we have moved beyond quarks into the smallest of other microparticles and energy beyond belief. Our God is in us and outside of us. We are in awe of God's creation. Jesus, you remind us that our Father's name is holy. God's name, Lord, God, Father, Dad, Mother, Parent, Yahweh, and even by others as Allah, is holy. It is hallowed. It is special. God's name is to be uttered in prayer and in blessing and in instruction. It is not to be used as a curse or as a weapon. And holy also means holistic, altogether, all-encompassing, holistic as truly one. All parts in unity with other parts, all thoughts and works in unity with each other. Jesus, you taught us that our Father is our one, true, beautiful, and good God. Our prayer to you, Jesus, is that we may also become holy as you are holy, that our lives be holy and holistic, that we may be one and unified in spirit, emotion, mind, heart, and soul, that we love you with all our strength, and that our whole being is aligned with you, and that your grace will bring us closer to holiness in you. Lord, we also understand your intent when you pray just before your arrest and crucifixion, Father, I pray that they be in us as I am in you, and you are in me, together as one. Jesus, you also taught us to pray that your Father's kingdom will come. And yet, Jesus, when we pray to our Father that something be done, we want it to be done now, and as we dream, it should happen. Even now, as adults, we often expectantly pray to you, Jesus, that our dreams be fulfilled in prayer rather than God's will. And Jesus, we wonder what we are really praying for when we pray that God's kingdom will come. Do we really know what we are asking of God? Do we know how much we must give up of ourselves to really have your kingdom come? Do we realize how much we must give up of what we own to really bring your kingdom about? Do we really want to pay the cost of your kingdom? For people have died seeking your Father's kingdom. You, Jesus, you died in fulfilling your Father's kingdom. Lord, this prayer really prayed has a price to be paid. You told us, Jesus, in teaching us this prayer, that we should pray that God's kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayer is that we will work and pray, live and breathe, that your Father's kingdom be brought to life on this earth. Our prayer is that we learn our part in how God's kingdom shall be nurtured and grow. You also taught us to pray that our Father's will be done. Sometimes, Lord, we do not even know our own will. But you, Jesus, have asked us to pray to know our Father's divine will, his divine intent for us. We therefore seek out God's will as Paul did when he wrote in his letter to the Roman community, "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect." When we seek God's will in Scripture, we learn how God showed himself to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Susanna and Rebecca, and how you, Jesus, God's word, showed yourself to Peter and John and Paul, Mary of Magdala, and hundreds of others. Now, Jesus, we seek the Holy Spirit as your Spirit works in our churches and in the hearts of men and women of prayer and goodwill. Jesus, we pray that we be open to God's will by following the path that you have opened to us. We pray that your way become our way. Jesus, you taught us that we can and even should ask for what we need to sustain us. You call this our daily bread. We have so many appetites, so many things we want, but like the Samaritan woman at the well who simply thought of water until you, Jesus, taught her about your living water, so may we think of the bread of life, the bread of prayer, the bread of a holy congregation, the bread of family, the bread of love, the bread of friendship. The psychiatrist David Viscott said, "To love and be loved is to feel the sun from both sides." Jesus, I think your son David understood both human and divine love. And Jesus, let us not forget that at the Last Supper, on that final night of your human life, you prayed that we remember you when we broke bread. Jesus, you also taught us that we have the power, even the mandate, to forgive others. But daily in interaction with so many people, we feel that we are rubbed the wrong way. There are rude people out there. There are thieves out there and burglars. There are felons out there. There are even too many bad drivers out there. It's really hard to be nice to some people out there, yet as we seek forgiveness from our God, you, Jesus, gave us a very simple self-test of our own forgiveness, for you taught us, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The concept of debt has so many translations in various biblical texts, and Lord, we pray the word debt is a variation of indebtedness. Indebtedness meaning we owe something to someone, to God. We are in debt to our Father. There are other translations such as trespass or sin or the word wrong. For you, Jesus, taught us to pray to our Father that all we have done wrong be fully forgiven, just as we have totally and absolutely forgiven all of those people who have somehow wronged us. Lord, help us to forgive ourselves, for sometimes we blame ourselves. Let us forgive people who have died, for sometimes we carry wrongs with us even after their death. And in some cases, Lord God, let us forgive God, for sometimes we may even feel that we were wronged by Him. Jesus, you have shown us the tremendous power of forgiveness, for when we forgive, the experience is that our shoulders are freed from the heaviness of carrying wounds. Jesus, you also asked us to pray that we may not be led into temptation. The simple version of this prayer may just be, God help us. And you told us to ask God, our Father, to deliver us from evil. In this world, we sometimes consume in excess, own too much, and want to control everything. Lord, we begin to examine what else we are tempted to glorify. Do we glorify our own wills, our own honors, status, our own power, control, our own desires of bank accounts, wealth, our own possessions, our own prestige? We pray that we be delivered then from meanness and meanness. Jesus, people have learned that when we pray to our Heavenly Father, we learn to devote ourselves to build up God's kingdom, to honestly forgive and to be forgiven. We begin to discover God's will and to acknowledge that the kingdom and the power and the glory belong to God alone. Jesus, in the prayer you taught us, we pray for ourselves and for one another, to our God, our Father. We pray for agnostics and atheists, fellow Christians and followers of Buddha and Confucius, and all people of goodwill. We pray as Paul did when he went to Greece, for all people who search for the unknown God. Jesus, we know God. Jesus, may we put all our heart into the prayer you taught us, for it is a revolutionary prayer. It changes lives. It can change our life. Lord, we end the prayer with the words, so be it. The words, amen. Let us continue praying for a moment in silence.